B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagel Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash, this chance. Oh!
Who doesn't love the Bankroll Boys? It's 98.5 a Sports Hub, Tutcher and Rich. The Bankroll Boys, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs for this week's playoff games. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Listen, they started off, you know, doing this segment on our show. They branched out to the Over Under podcast, and then it's a weekend show that they've got as well. And I'm such a fan of the Bankroll Boys that I even watched the thrown together at the last moment video podcast that you guys do, little streaming deals where you take questions. And Dan Lifshatz, I've been wanting to talk to you for a couple of days now. Because you did one with Joe Murray on, I think it was Sunday night, and you got all sorts of fired up. I mean, too hot for radio. I mean, just a lot of F-bombs flying everywhere. But what you were saying was fascinating to me because I've never heard this before. But you were so convinced that this is really happening that I want to know where you're, like, what else you know about this. You talked about the Lakers-Portland series. And in previewing it, you said that, first of all, you're an idiot if you end up taking Portland to win the series. But then you said something saying, you know what? There's probably a chance that Portland wins the first game because LeBron James likes throwing games in order to get his boys paid. So I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it sounds to me as if you were saying that it's well known that LeBron James has some sort of guys who bet on the game that he hooks up by throwing a game. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, but I mean, he's also included in that. Like LeBron likes his money as well. So yeah, I mean, he gets a little action on that too. But yeah, absolutely. It's well known that he has a group out in Vegas, a bunch of different runners. And if you ask around there and you know the right people, you'll know. And I mean, I actually heard some information last night that, He's not pleased about what's going on in the bubble right now. Wasn't pleased with game one. I don't think he threw that game at all, to be honest with you. I think they just lost that game. And he may have mentally checked out. So I'm interested to see what happens tonight, because if they go down 0-2, I will be legitimately worried for the Lakers.
See, that's fascinating to me, because LeBron James, you know, may, by the time his career is over, end up making more money playing basketball than any other player. I mean, the actual basketball part of it. I know that right now Garnett's the guy, but who knows how the contracts are going to shake out and whether he's going to touch that. But either way, he's got loads of money. Why would he do something like that? Throw games, especially in the playoffs, no matter how much money he would make off gambling. I mean, it would have to be a ridiculous amount of money when he's already absolutely loaded.
I mean, because, you know, it's the same reason that we've heard that, you know, Kyrie and Durant went to the Nets and not the Knicks, because they could all get that China money. They were promised all sorts of money from their shoe deals in return from the owner, which is, you know, the big rumor coming out of the Nets, which is why they ended up actually going to Brooklyn over the Nets, over the Knicks, because, you know, they were promised all this money from a shoe deal from the owner, who also happens to have a lot of connections to China. And, you know, so in that league, that's what it's about. It's, you know, it's about doing all this stuff and making the most you can, and, you know, being able to do whatever you want. It doesn't matter how much money you have.
Endorsements are, like, different than jeopardizing your whole legacy, though, right?
They're different, but this is like, I mean, this is like the stuff that, you know, that Brooklyn talks about doing is, like, you know, off the books type stuff. Not necessarily endorsements.
I'm more, because during the regular season, there's part of me that could almost buy it. But have you known him to throw a playoff game because of betting?
Yeah, there was a game a couple years ago where the I think it was the Celtics, when was it Isaiah that was out? I can't remember. But whatever, I think it was Isaiah was out, and they were the Cavs were like 12
points. Was the Avery Bradley three game? I think it was that game.
Right? Okay. Well, whatever it was, the Celtics ended up winning that game, right? There was no Isaiah Thomas. I think it was like game three or game four in that series, whatever it was. Okay. There was three large bets on the Celtics in Vegas that day, and I talked to a bunch of guys over there, so they gave me information. Now, usually I don't ever care about that stuff, but what's fascinating is every single time a certain group would place these bets, the Cavaliers would lose. So people started tracking it, and it started with that Isaiah Thomas game, and that's when at least people
started to notice it. Yeah,
there you go. Okay, so you know that's when it started to catch on, and it's been happening over the past few years.
And he's 7-7 now against the spreading.
Wait,
game
so hang on. So they didn't, but they didn't bet on Portland the other night, is what you're saying? Because you don't think that happened the other night. They didn't put a bet on Portland,
from what I've heard. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there
I may be wrong about that. You know, I don't hear everything. They're not. I'm not best friends with the guys, so they're not giving me direct information. Otherwise, I'd be rich too. But
are there other athletes out there that are known to, like, as well known as you? It sounds like LeBron is, to throw games in order to earn their buddies' cash.
I have no idea. So he is the only one that I personally know of that does this and has a group of runners in Vegas that get down bets for him.
Horford's done it like 2 years in a row, I think.
Game 7, Jeff Green, right?
What about Andre Drummond there, Jones? Think Andre Drummond's throwing any games for the Cavaliers?
Maybe.
There you go.
Maybe. Could be.
But listen, how great would it be if, like, LeBron actually got busted for that? I mean, out of all the stuff he's done to be the greatest in his legacy, and it ends up being like just throwing games for his dumb buddies. Oh, that would be the best. And that ends up being the thing that ends up bringing him down when he's already made like $1 zillion. I mean, first of all, what the hell is he thinking doing that, if he is doing that right now?
What's the NBA going to do, Rich? What are they going to do? Say we're going to kick LeBron James out of the league, the face of the NBA? No, they'll be like, whatever. We don't care. Just do it in the regular season and make sure we still get Lakers Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but you're saying it's not the regular season.
Well, right, but I'm saying, the whole point is, I'd say the majority of it happens in the regular season, is what I'm saying. Man. So, if it happens in a game or two in the playoffs, the whole point is, well, we don't care as long as we get, Lakers Clippers. We want the ratings bonanza type thing.
Yeah, they'll take an extra game, right? They'll take a longer series. And more TV inventory. I mean, right?
That fits right along the wrangle last year. So.
It does work with what the league wants. That's true.
Yep.
I just think it's going to be easier to kick him out if the older he gets.
That I would agree with. I would 100% agree with you on that.
I got no problem with that. All right. So real quick, you guys have been talking about the wrangle for years now with us, and for people who don't know, the wrangle stands for
the ref angle.
The ref angle. That's right. You look at the track record of these referees, and it's pretty amazing how accurate this is. But yesterday, you guys had posted something, and it was Lifshitz. I think you posted it, and that was about the Clippers. They said they had lost their last six playoff games with Scott Foster officiating. Scott Foster was the ref last night, and what ended up happening?
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers, I actually thought the Clippers were pretty embarrassing last night. I thought the Mavericks handily beat them. I didn't think they needed any ref help, which is pretty funny. But, they're specific. We've talked about this a million times. There's guys in the league who do not like other teams. Donaghy, everyone goes, it's one rogue ref. Donaghy has gone on multiple big podcasts and said, there are guys who do this. I know them. Scott Foster was his best friend in the league. Like, of course he knows that Foster does it.
Yeah, there's an account, a Twitter account, that just goes through all the refs, what their records are, and there are times you can just bet off that. Last night, I bet the Mavs, the money line, the over, went to bed, woke up a happy man today. Because it's literally that easy. You just follow the trend. If those refs are involved, and listen, the bubble's been a little difficult to bet on as far as totals go, but overall, like, these refs,
so
it's money.
Maybe
it's,
you just,
it's accurate.
Maybe you just answer my question. I understand what you're saying with the metrics for siding with or against the Clippers, siding with the Mavericks when Foster is reffing. So you take the money line, you take them to cut. I understand all that, but the over is just strictly a bubble thing. Well, is that why you took
I thought the Mavs were going to. The Mavs had a rough shooting night because they lost.
And the Mavs score like a million points
Porzingis
normally.
In game one.
Yep.
And you can, to Dan's point, you could argue that the Mavs could be up 2-0 if they have Porzingis. But like, they went off last night, and the Clippers just trailed, and they were just scoring junk buckets plus the fouls. right? They called a lot of fouls last night when they didn't have to. That's why I take the over, because they get to the line a lot and hit those free throws.
All right, so we got to talk about some of the bets that you can make, and the degenerate special, which has been hitting like mad. We will get to that. Can you stick around, Lifshatz, for a moment? You got anywhere
no
to go?
No,
all right, excellent. All right, we'll come back and finish with the Bankroll Boys right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub is Dutcher and Rich, the Bankroll Boys. Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray, the Degenerate Special, which has been paying, I mean, hitting it like an 80% clip. It has been just as dependable as it gets. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, you guys have some thoughts on how Tuukka being gone impacts the Bruins' future odds.
Yeah, front nine Tuukka.
Dan, go ahead. Just go.
No, I mean, pretty much my thoughts on Tuukka are, you know, that I honestly believe, and the odds have, the futures odds have reflected this, that Rask has pretty much ruined the Bruins' chances of winning a Stanley Cup. So if I'm a guy in that room, I'm a veteran, I'm very upset right now. And I honestly, regardless of kind of what happens, I know everyone has issues. I mean, I know Rask has an issue and had an issue with his daughter, as reported. You know, I understand that. I think we all have issues. The Bruins obviously didn't deem it an emergency, which, you know, from the coach and the GM. So if I'm a guy in that, you know, I'm that room and I'm taking a look at the future prices, and you drop down from, you know, one of the top two teams to, you know, middle of the pack at best. And I think you're going up against Tampa, who you're going to need, you know, elite goaltending from to get by. And then you have to face probably a very hot Islanders team or a really good Flyers team. I think you're in trouble. Honestly, I don't think you can win a Stanley Cup with Jaroslav Halak, and I think that he was really good this series, but what, he played three games and allowed, you know, maybe three soft goals?
I was going to say some bad goals.
So, I mean, but
despite that, I mean, how did it affect the line? Like, because especially, like, oh, have you looked at it this morning since they've won? Because, you know, say what you will, and, you know, I saw one of the worst goals a goalie could give up in, what was that game, his first game, when he just, like, right, lobbed it over. It's one of the worst goals I've ever seen given up by a goalie. And you're right, there have been some softies. But, I mean, it hasn't been a deluge of goals scored on the guy, and a lot of that has to do with the defense as well, but it almost seems like they're rallying around Halak. So how much really has it changed the line since Tuukka's been out?
Well, I mean, it changed a lot. I think, as I said, it's going to vary in every book, but basically you went from being, you know, either the first, second, or third fave in the entire NHL to being middle of the pack. I mean, you're sitting, but again, and what's going to look, you know, when you look now, the odds are going to be skewed because the Bruins are obviously into the next round, and most teams aren't.
And you're waiting for Philly, right, or the Islanders or somebody like
exactly
that.
Exactly, yeah. And so therefore the odds are going to be skewed. But the minute that all these series finish, you're going to find yourself behind the Islanders.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're going to find yourself very far back, and I get it, it's a great story. Listen, I thought the Bruins would beat the Hurricanes in seven. I thought when Rask left, they were going to really struggle. I thought it was going to be a really close series, go to seven. And it's awesome that they rallied around the lock and that, you know, they exceeded expectations. And honestly, there's no one happier about that than I am, because I never want to see Rask back here ever again. So, in my opinion, I'm all in on, you know, Jaroslav Halak, but it just in general, if we're being honest with ourselves as, you know, as bettors and investors, I have no interest in ever investing in the Bruins this playoff run. None. Yeah, zero.
They went from 600, Rich, plus 600 to win it all, to like plus 1,100.
Yeah.
And Dan saying that's still skewed, right? Because not everybody's
We don't even know yet if they play Like if they
you don't know if they're playing Tampa or the Islanders, or I guess those are their options. Could they still play Washington? No.
No. So they're playing, I think, the Flyers or Tampa.
That's what it is. Sorry. Yeah.
So anyways, they went from.
Or the Islanders.
Yeah. They went from a, projected to be, I think it was like a +130 dog in the series with Tampa. They're looking at a +170 now. Like, you know,
are they +1100 to win it now after
this morning?
So that's probably
it's
got to
be less. Yeah,
right. That's probably
because if it's +1100, I'll give you money to put on it right now. Yeah. I mean, that's a good deal.
Don't burn your money, because you're going to go into the second round. You have to get by two teams in the East who are, in my opinion, no matter who you play, are going to be very good. And then the best team out of the West. All of those teams can score goals.
Yeah,
all of them.
Colorado, you don't want to touch them.
Yeah,
anymore.
They just put up 7 on Arizona the other day.
Or Vegas. Yeah, and Kemper's been good. Wait, so
much better.
So they don't do like a look ahead to like next season in Vegas, right? There's no like odds on like right now there's no like indication of like whether they think Tuca will be back in Vegas, right?
No, but I actually asked Dave Mason about a line to put something up the other day. And he pretty much told me, like, dude, we're not going to put it up because he ain't coming back. Like, and, you know, so I mean, pretty much it was
meaning, for like 2021, put something up.
Yeah. I mean, so I was like, can you put up a Will Tuca be traded prop? Because I think that, and again, that's what BOL does. They put up all these props. And even they were like, I don't know if we're going to do that. Like, okay. You know, and they do all this stuff. You know, they're the ones who list, like, the where's player going to be traded to type.
Huh. So I won some money on something yesterday that Joe Murray talked about, and that is that the first period unders have been huge, correct, during the hockey playoffs?
Yes.
Okay. I see 70% the unders are hitting. Do you think that's going to continue, or is that just a first round knocking the rust off type of situation?
I think it's going to continue. I think defenses are prevailingly stronger than offenses. I think we definitely saw that in the Carolina Boston series, especially yesterday. You saw that total drop to 5, as the opener, and so I think that you knew immediately, at least from the hockey guys I talked to, immediately the prevailing thought was under. Pretty much when you get an opener of 5. And, the series has gone over a few games, and all of a sudden you see a 5 the next day. Usually it's not a great sign for goals. And again, Vegas is usually ahead of this stuff with their models and, equations and everything. So they have a pretty good idea and concept of where you're going. So if you see, 5.5 of the Bruins for 3 games and it drops to 5, be wary of that. I would tell you not to play the over in that situation, most of the time. So
apparently another massive cash cow, this is according to Joe Murray, is if you are a sadist or, you don't have to watch it, I guess you can just look at like an app and something to get the score. But I guess the Red Sox and how awful they've been, you guys have just been printing money on what, betting the over on these games?
If you take the opponent and the run line, the alternative run line, so what they do is they give you a money line for a team to win, and then do they win by more than one run?
One and a half is a run line.
It won 9 games in a row. If you put $100 on every one of them, you would have been up, I think, $1,800.
So you take the money line and the alternate run line in separate bets.
So last night I'm go, all right, let's go for 10 in a row. And I went the run line. I didn't put, because the money line was like -130 or whatever. So I took the run line. It lost yesterday.
It was like -230 yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I tried to get them to win by 2, the Phillies. It finally lost yesterday. So when it was all said and done, I think it came out to $1,800.
Yeah, so
that's great.
I looked at this last night. So Joe's been riding that. I've been riding the opponent team total over. So I've been taking whoever the Red Sox are facing and taking their team total over either in the first 5 or the full game. And outside of one Yankees game, I think last week where the Yankees scored
Sunday night baseball,
4 in the first 5, actually had the first 5 team total over in that one, and it didn't score again the rest of the game. Outside of that one, I believe that they've gone over every single time.
It's like Patriots in the over in 07.
It really is, yeah. And again,
their pain is our gain, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah,
hey, might as well profit off of it. Sure,
Jones is sitting here with a smirk, I love that.
I'm not even wagering on the Red Sox, and I'm enjoying the crap out of it. But maybe I should get in on that.
Maybe JD Martinez should get on it. Maybe he'll be happy. I don't know.
Are there any odds that the Red Sox will finish with the worst record in Red Sox history, percentage wise? Is there an odd out there? Are there any odds out there for that? Because that might be worth looking at.
I have not looked, but I can see if I can find something. I doubt that they'll do that right now. That's probably something they'll save more towards the end of the season when, you know, it's a legitimate race to see if that actually happens. But I'll keep an eye out for that.
Only thing I wanted to mention quickly is the odds in the NBA are really close. Like, I like the Clippers. Dan likes the Lakers. But, like, it's neck and neck, man. I've never really seen it before where it's like, and even the Bucks, that all those three teams are like, right
lumped
around
together.
Really close, lumped together. So I think it's a true toss-up. I think the Lakers bounce back, but they did look rusty, and they looked like they missed Avery Bradley. So.
They shot 15% from three-point. They averaged 35% during the year. So, again, if you, in my opinion, 15% on 35, I would say that's an unlucky shooting performance. You know, again, if you shoot 25% on 35% average, I'd characterize that as you had a bad shooting night. But 15% on 35% is that you're unlucky.
I want the Lakers to lose for two reasons. Number one, because if LeBron loses, that would be hysterical again, because Anthony Davis is going to leave after this year, more than likely, in my opinion. And also because Dan Lifshitz's head will explode.
You want to find me under a bridge.
Homeless. Oh, none of that. How about Dwight Howard? Dwight Howard's on the team, Rich, so you got to root for that.
Well, he's the cooler. I've said that since day one. A team with Dwight Howard will never win a championship. And then I'll look like, you know, of course, a genius. All right, so real quick, before we get the Degenerate Special, last week we did the Degenerate Special. And Dan, you were not here, but Joe Murray said, hey, listen, you know, there's this Russian ping pong. It's happening later on the deal. I was like, great, put my money on it, and ended up winning. And apparently, while I was gone, Dale Arnold of the Nesson broadcast, he came out, and he's got beef, apparently, with the Bankroll Boys, saying you guys ripped them off. Dan Lifshitz, what say you? You're being attacked. Your knees are being punched by a very small man.
Yeah, I'd tell Dale to, you know, shut the F up and, you know, focus on Tuukka Rask and his stupid book, which he's not going to write because he's going to retire. So that's what I'd tell Dale, honestly. Shut the F up. Go do your little Bruins broadcast there where no one watches on Nesson, followed by the guy who screams into the mic for 45 minutes that. With no one listens to.
By the way, I've said this before.
I want the Bruins on the radio. I'll take Judd and Bob every day in the pregame, the postgame, the on air, you know, 42 minutes after the game, whatever. I don't care. As long as
the show that, after them.
Yeah, I'll take the show after them. I'll take Hockey Jones over freaking Dale Arnold on air talking about
too.
Hockey.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Dale, stick to your little pregame show and just shut up, okay? Thank you.
By the way, Billy Jaffe joining us at 9 a.m. this morning. He'll be on with us as well.
If we took Dale out and put Jaffe in full time, I'm in on that show. There's one problem on that show. Its name is Dale Arnold. It's about 5'1".
So Dale, first of all, I don't know why he thinks that they created talking about betting on the air. We didn't. I'm not taking credit for like us being the first show ever to talk betting on the air. No, it was just that you two guys were really good at what you did. So I said, let's put them on the show.
So he is saying that they
were the first people to talk about betting. Is that what their beef was with
our show? Or is it about the ping pong?
They think I was like, I stole their bit. I don't listen to their show.
Dude, I didn't even know they did it a bit. Like none of us knew. None of us even knew until like, you know, we got told like, hey, you know,
someone's like, oh, somebody's talking bad about you guys. I'm like, what?
Yeah, we didn't even know they did a segment. Did people listen to that show? Like, I didn't.
That's
even
a little
know.
Risky for Dad, don't you think? Talking gambling, I think that's like, you know, not up his alley.
That's it'd be a conflict of interest.
Yeah, wouldn't it be a conflict?
I'll be honest, Dan. As much as I laugh at you, you know, ripping into Dale Arnold, it's not half as fun without Wallach here because Wallach just gets a visceral happy, like this happiness that you can hear through my headphones whenever anyone says anything about it. Dale must have really hurt John Wallach. I mean, like there's some like back like therapy that needs to be done. I think
Joe Murray is holding in right now, but I know he is.
I've already given my opinions.
Yes.
I texted my thoughts along the way to people on set.
Yes, he's rather displeased.
As I said, no matter what, I'm always going to be on Team Wallach. And listen, Dale Arnold seems nice, never done anything to me.
What's the pick?
Yeah, Degenerate Special. I need a Degenerate Special.
All right, it's Saturday morning. Gang Wong and Daegu over 2.5. There you go. South Korean soccer. Copy that, Dale.
What was the bet again? I'm sorry.
Gangwon and Daegu over 2.5. I'm sure they'll claim South Korean soccer next, too.
That's, you know what? That's the new Bankroll Boys shirt. It's got the name on the front. It says, copy that, Dale, on the back.
I like it.
And there you go. You've got a brand new. It's going to fly off the shelves. All right. You know what? Let's put 300 on that one. Let's do a double dinghy. Let's do a double dinghy on that
one. I think we're at 750 now.
I lost 100 last night, but that's fine. All right. So let's put, all right. We'll put two dinghies on there. 300 bucks on who?
Daegu and Gangwon over.
Go
goals.
Let's score some goals. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Dan Lifshatz, take a nice breath, have a drink, and enjoy the Billy Jaffe experience at 9 o'clock. And maybe I'll play that entire rant for him and see how he'll react. All right. 617-779-0985. Thank you very much. We'll be right back right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Drive home with Felger and Matt this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
10 on the shot clock, 19 on the game clock as we count it down in a rough first quarter for the Celtics. Wanamaker's pass deflected by Thibault, so Tatum can go get it in the backcourt. He didn't realize he was not touching it. Now he does. He has to launch a Damian Lillard type.
Oh, and he banks it in!
From 30 plus feet away.
That was Dame Lillard like.
And that cuts it to 6.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, Adam Jones, Joe Murray in studio, and that was just awesome. I mean, what we're seeing from Jason Tatum is, if you don't think he's a superstar now, you are seeing him turn into one right in front of us. And I'm not one of these guys who's going to sit here and go, you know, I'm not going to take away from the Celtics and how well they played because the Sixers are a mess. I think sometimes you can have both. And what we saw yesterday, taking a look at the Celtics, the way that they were able to compensate for having no Gordon Hayward there was fantastic. I mean, the bench played great. And I mean, that's something that nobody expected. Nobody expected them to come out there and to be able in that second period when you had, oh God, who was it? It was Tatum. Tatum was the only starter that was out there. And then they had Wanamaker, who, by the way, Joe Murray, who's been on Team Wanamaker from day one?
That would be Rich Shurtleff.
It's the Rich Shurtleff train right there. That's absolutely right. Ennis Kanter. No, Mike Gorman just loves everybody. But Ennis Kanter. Edwards, not Carson Edwards, Grant Williams, and I forget who the other one was.
Langford?
It was out there. Langford? Yeah, Romeo Langford. So that's this like ragtag group that you put out there, and they were able to, against the Sixers starters, most of the starters, they were able to go from what was at that point like an 8-point deficit to a 5-point lead, and they continued to play hard throughout the rest of the game. You had guys, I think 7 threes from the bench yesterday, which is insane when you look at how they got them, because Grant Williams got 2, and we talked earlier about how he was a joke. He had that streak of, I don't even remember the number, but it was either in the high 20s or the low 30s at how many 3-point shots he had missed without making one. And when he did, there was this big sarcastic cheer from the bench. Yeah, he had 2 yesterday. On top of that, you had Ennis Kanter, who had 1 the entire post of the entire regular season, and he hits 1 yesterday. The Celtics, they look great, and they're getting better, and we're seeing Jason Tatum become a star right in front of our eyes. Now, I'm not going to discount what they did. That was great. But the Sixers just are an effing mess. From the top down, you need to just throw that entire team in the trash. I'm talking from management to the coach to the players to the trainers, the conditioning, the people that are the heads of conditioning. They all around are an embarrassment. And if I right now was either somebody who covers that team or I was a fan, I would be picketing outside of their headquarters right now. Fire everyone. Get rid of everything. Nobody is safe. You've got not only a team that, if you're sitting there watching Jason Tatum and just become a monster, you are screaming at the sky that you somehow got swindled by Danny Ainge into making you think that Markelle Fultz was going to be the second coming when Jason Tatum is a bona fide superstar and Markelle Fultz doesn't even play your team anymore.
Yeah.
Brent Brown has just had a bag of, like, he can't get anything to mesh. Your job is to make these guys work. And they have been garbage ever since he's been there. Embiid, Simmons, they're not going to work together. It's not going to happen. You got to get rid of at least one of them for this team to be successful, which is amazing because they're both unbelievable talents on their own. But Joel Embiid, oh yeah, great in the first quarter. That dude gets gassed faster than any player in the NBA. It's like, you know, for the first 12 minutes, you're sitting there going, oh my God, he's going to destroy us. And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, he's not even trying. Like, that's inexcusible.
He's flopping. He's flops flopping everywhere.
There's no question. Even when Brad Stevens is mocking his flopping, you know, that's, you know,
Ref, give me a call out there, won't you? Get your head out of your butts.
You saw that, right, too?
Oh, did I?
Good lip reader there. But, I mean, they like, the entire team, and Al Horford. Let's talk about Al Horford, too. Al Horford, obviously, is a guy that's well-respected in the league. Everyone seems to love the dude. But Cedric Maxwell yesterday, this was just fantastic. Cedric Maxwell's been great on these broadcasts. If you're not listening to the radio broadcast, I don't know what you're doing, because he's been fantastic. Listen to Cedric Maxwell. You know, everyone loves Al Horford, but listen to Max.
And the thing about it, Al Horford is a real good basketball player. I'm watching them right now. He's just confused. He didn't even know where to go. And B's saying, going back the other way, where do I go? Al is just confused. He doesn't even know what to do out there. And that's just sad to see a player with that much talent and that I like just kind of drop his head. This one's for you, Al.
I love it. I love it. And it's all true, and it's a mess, and I haven't looked at the Philadelphia Press this morning, but, I mean, you just have to be livid, because there's so much talent on that team. Can you imagine if, like, you had a guy like Nick Nurse? You know, Nick Nurse, everyone thought that Raptors team was just going to wilt away once Kawhi Leonard left. They've been excellent, and he's a great coach. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, Brad Stevens, but Nick Nurse is some guy who has shown you that that dude, he can make a group work. He can make stars out of nobodies. The chemistry seems to be there. They all want to be there playing in this bubble. That Sixers team can't get out there fast enough. And you know what? I don't know if it was Danny Ainge who said this yesterday or it was Mike Gorman, but they made a good point. And that was, the teams that get along the best and that have gotten along the best this year are the ones that are going to succeed in the bubble, because they're not going to be able to take, they have to, you know how it is. Like, it's people who, you know, like in a bad marriage, it's just like the quarantine, being stuck together hasn't helped anybody. You know, everything's been tough, but if you're, you know, everything's going well and everyone's happy, it's a little bit easier. It's still tough. The bubble's going to be tough for everyone because you can't get away from each other. But if you're a team like the Celtics, whereas somebody like Marcus Smart, who seems to be kind of the ringleader, everyone seems to, you know, Enes Kanter, very affable guy, Kemba Walker, his attitude kind of sets the tone. You're going to be more successful than one that just from the jump couldn't get along. And you hear about the infighting within that Sixers team. And that's why it's not a surprise that they're losing, but just the fact that they got their asses kicked on national television yesterday when you had Gordon Hayward missing, and they had to throw out a bunch of bench guys who hardly even played any minutes up to this point since the bubble, and they went in there and embarrassed you. That Sixers team just put them down. Just put them down, man. Start over from the beginning. Just start from scratch and get them the hell out. They can't get the hell out of that bubble quick enough.
I mean, when you know, you said it earlier, when Grant Williams and, you know, Romeo Langford and Smart are just stunting all over your dead corpse at the end of the game, like just hitting threes and, like, you know, celebrating in your face, when, like, the scrubs are in there celebrating over your dead corpse, Like, it's time to go. So, look, I'm an idiot. I picked the Sixers in this series. I thought they were a bad matchup, not just up front, but I thought their size in the backcourt was a problem for the Celtics. I'm wrong. Like, that the Sixers are not winning this series, and, you know, they want to go home. So it's time for that. And I would just say this. I was talking about how I don't really know what to make of the Bruins against Carolina. I do think the Celtics deserve more credit because at least Philly has talent. You know, I mean, Philly is a mess, but at least they have talent. Carolina wasn't ready for primetime last year or this year.
Yeah. That's the thing is that, you know, they're one of those teams that the Sixers out of nowhere could be like, oh my God, these guys are amazing. Like when they actually try, like there are games, there have been games this season where they've tried and you'd be like, oh, sweet Lord, look what they're doing here. But you know what? Apparently Robert Parrish called him out yesterday and so did Cedric Maxwell. There's no excuse for Embiid to get as gassed as he does as quickly as he does. I mean, there's been big men in the league for years who have found a way to be able to be effective in the fourth quarter. And he's just gassed. And it's almost like
he might have been effective if they gave him any touches in that third quarter. He might have been effective. I don't know.
I know. I mean, listen, everything's wrong with that team. Yep. The game plan, just the chemistry. And that's not taking anything away from what the Celtics are doing because, you know, each guy seems to be making strides. The bench seems to be playing better. But, I mean, get them out of that bubble and let's go ahead and move on to that second round.
Yeah, and just real quick, I want to credit the Celtics. They did great last night, but. You know, can they continue to get that production from the bench?
No.
No, I mean, that was a great day. You're right. It's going to be tough. I mean, that was magical. When Grant Williams is hitting two threes and Enes Kanter, dude, that's magical. You're not going to see that happen again.
Yeah, that's a no.
No, but at some point we're going to see the loss of Hayward and be like, they don't have enough.
Sure. Against the Raptors, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Against a real well-coached team, it's going to be tough.
But, hey, Brooklyn's playing great. I got to tell you, like, I know they stink. But they're, like, hanging around with the Raptors. Raptors might just be toying with them, though.
All right. Well, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Since.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Now, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray, Adam Jones, and we're going to have Bob Soucy on in about a half hour to give us an update on everything that's been happening at Patriots camp. Mr. Billy Jaffe will talk about last night's fantastic win, and we'll talk about Bruins in just a second. But I saw this from Adam. You emailed this morning. You were saying, after hearing the same boring take about baseball's unwritten rules for the last few days, I've come around on it. They're actually good for baseball. And your reasoning was what?
Well, no one talks about baseball otherwise. Like, I mean, we'll talk about the Red Sox a little bit here and there, but like, without the unwritten rules, which I do feel are stupid, like the Rangers crying the other day about Tatis, I thought was dumb. I think he should listen to his manager. When his manager says, take a pitch, you're supposed to listen to your boss. That's what you're supposed to do. But the Rangers crying about it, I thought was stupid. But the more I think about it, baseball kind of needs these unwritten rules, or else no one's going to talk about your sport.
People can just bitch about it.
Yeah, I mean, the best stuff in baseball this year, like it's Joe Kelly, it's Fernando Tatis, and it's these Trevor Bauer cleats paying tribute to Joe Kelly. Like that, baseball has like problems with now. Like what else are you even talking about with the dumb sport? Other than unwritten rules and arguing about. There's nothing else. No one watches the games. There's nothing else to argue about.
I can't really disagree with you, because think about it. Like, what have been the positive storylines for baseball this year? Like, everything's been...
Joe
like, the
Kelly?
Big stories... well, I mean, I see what you're saying. But baseball-wise, like, great play-wise, like, what have been the... There's been, like, the big stories are all what's going on with, you know, all these teams having to stall their season because everyone's getting sick. It's Plesak and what's his name all sneaking out in the middle of the night.
Right,
that's
been
a big story.
Yeah. Yep,
Clevenger, like that's a big one. It's the unwritten rules and how people are bitching. You're absolutely right. Like this year has somewhat for the Major
Every
League
year.
Baseball. It's yeah, but this year it's been like even more of a disaster. Obviously, I mean, there's been like no real good baseball feel good stories. You know, like about like yeah. Like something.
Like, is anybody batting 400? Is anybody doing
the problem is you have to watch. Like to know yeah. any of that stuff, you have to watch. And no one, I'm sorry, Tom Karen, no one wants to watch.
Oh,
no
come
one
on,
wants.
Adam,
no,
be better.
No one wants to watch this team or baseball in general. So no, like you have to watch the games to know about all those storylines, and no one wants to. So you know what? The unwritten rules, and they are dumb. I think they're actually good for. I think baseball kind of needs the unwritten rules, or else we don't talk about anything until people start arguing about what's allowed and what's not allowed and what's frowned upon and what is acceptable. Like, that's the only thing we talk about with baseball these days. Well, otherwise, the Sox, there's nothing to talk about.
The Sox are starting to get me back because I have to see how bad it gets. If they start winning, I'm not going to watch. But if this continues to go down, like I want to see history. I want to see the Titanic sink. I want to see this to be as bad as it gets. So, you know those ratings, that article that came out about how bad it was? I have a feeling there's going to be a little bit of an uptick if they just continue to be awful, despite, of course,
the one thing they do,
night.
And I know we got to go, all they do is somebody gets placed on waivers and they select
they
them.
Sign like they sign like another crap. Who's the guy they just
every
got?
Day, dude.
No. They trade Xander. Like, that's when you know it's going to be like. I'm telling you, there's a couple. I mean, Rosenthal's hinting around that there's interest. And, you know, apparently everyone's tradable, according to Sam Kennedy. Everyone's tradable. So now you want to talk about a nice little capper to the season. You trade Xander Bogaerts, and woohoo! Now we got a rodeo. All right. No commercials, just the headlines with Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.